Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your Hump Day Infocast. This is Michelle Gonsman with Gonsman Group Legal Nurse Consulting. I wanted to take time to say I hope everybody had a pleasant and restful Thanksgiving holiday and ready to start back at work. If you haven't heard any Infocast before, what we do is we just talk about different topics for a few short minutes. And this topic is rounding up. We just finished the nursing process. And this one, I want to touch a little bit on documentation. We will be touching more on documentation in the electronic medical record Infocast series. If you've missed any past Infocast, please go to our website, Gonsman Group LNC.com. It's Gonsman Group Legal Nurse Consulting.com, but it's Gonsman Group LNC.com, or just simply Google Gonsman Group. And on the lower left hand side, you'll see something called Hump Day Infocasts. The reason is I send them out every other Wednesday. And what we're going to do is just talk about documentation today, but you can always pull up past Infocasts. So if you want to hear something, please just go ahead on there. And if you ever want to hear a different topic or you have something like, hey, I'd really like to hear your views on this, go ahead and just give us a call. The information is available on my website. But anyway, let's talk documentation today. Documentation is probably one of my favorite subjects because in our business, all we have is the documentation, and, you know, depositions and interviews and stuff. But basically what I have when I'm reviewing a case is documentation. And like I said, we just finished a nursing process series. So within my legal nursing career, because of the legal nursing career, I had read so much horrible documentation or so much lack of documentation, really nurses shooting themselves in the foot sometimes with lack of documentation. I actually teach documentation classes to nurses, physicians, and student nurses. And I always start with the top reasons to document accurately and correctly. Even in the medical legal field, we need to understand these reasons to document accurately and correctly. The first reason any practitioner should document is patient safety and communication, because it is a communication tool between providers, between nurses, between doctors and nurses, between consultants and physicians. A lot of times I feel when I'm reading these things, one hand doesn't know what the other's doing. And the only way sometimes is if they don't talk on the phone, or I guess maybe text now, they can read the provider's documentation. The physicians can read the nursing documentation. That doesn't happen all the time. There's actually a study from the University of Chicago Medical Center that physicians admitted in anecdotal evidence that the nurse's documentation was just too cumbersome when the electronic medical record came into fruition, and they just didn't go to the nurse's documentation anymore. So, and that's a whole other thing. We'll discuss that when we get to the pressure ulcer series. Nurses can review previous documentation. For example, if a nurse hears an abnormal lung sounds as she's assessing her patient, she can look at the previous shift's documentation and see what those lung sounds sounded like. If they were clear and now she's hearing abnormal lung sounds, that's certainly going to be an alert where she's going to need to notify the physician and do maybe a more focused exam, as we talked about the nursing process. Also, medications are documented with a time, so the next nurse doesn't administer a pain medication too closely together. I recently reviewed a case. They were administering medication as needed and writing their initials, but no time. So how did these nurses know what happened? And in the narrative notes, I found that somebody administered medicine at 8 o'clock and then again at 8:30 because nobody documented a time. Nurses document the position of a patient when they turn them to prevent pressure ulcers. So the next nurse knows how long the patient's been in that particular position. How long has this person been on their right side? Allergies are documented to prevent medicating a patient with a drug to which they're allergic. Now, I will say that in deposition, nurses are asked if they reviewed the chart or the previous documentation. This is a routine question when I'm reading depositions. I hear all the time. And I want to help both defense and plaintiff understand what happens. Because it's not necessarily negligent if a nurse doesn't sit there and read every other nurse's documentation. So I'm going to give you, in my normal nursing practice, really what happens. Because it's not black and white. However, a nurse usually gets shift report, and you could be working in ICU, in the emergency room, or on a med-surg floor. So it depends on how many patients you're going to have. But you might want to, you know, get shift report and then check the critical elements, like see if there's any new orders that you need to do that have popped up since the time the previous nurse has done. What medications are due so you can jump on those right away. And then the nurse is going to go and assess her patients, go and visit with them, see what their immediate needs are, check their vital signs. There's a normal routine to this, okay? Some nurses document in real time. They have these mobile computer systems or computers in the room where nurses can document immediately. Depending on your normal customary practice and depending on how many patients and what is going on, I always have a little piece of paper, and attorneys, trust me, these little pieces of paper are just for that day. Nobody saves them. They go in the shred bin at the end of the day. It's truly just, I assess a patient, I write down all the pertinent information. And if I don't have time or I get pulled into a room, for instance, I work in a trauma center. So if I'm assessing a patient, I can't document in real time because I just got called to a trauma. So I always write the lung sounds down. Do they have any swelling? You know, what was their pain level? What were their vital signs? And when I get back from my trauma, I would be sitting at the computer documenting their assessment. Or the ICU nurse may do the same thing. She may have two patients, go in, take care of their immediate needs, medicate them, check and make sure they're okay, do their head-to-toe assessment, and then either, you know, go sit at the nurse's station and do something and document in the computer, or go back into the room and document. So the process is different and customized to each and every nurse, and sometimes per facility policy. But the chances of 100% real-time documentation are pretty slim. But now back to looking at previous documentation. If I'm assessing a patient and there was anything abnormal, like we discussed before, like lung sounds, I would most certainly go back immediately and look and say, well, what were their lung sounds like? Or if I saw a red area on their bottom, I would go back and say, well, was it red previous shift? Of course, I would take care of it first and turn the patient off that area. Most likely, though, I would glance at the previous nurse's documentation, maybe not immediately in the shift, but as I do my documentation, I'm probably going to go back and take a look and say, all right, does this match up? Because this was a little odd, or the patient says they're having pain. What was their pain previously? And that's maybe an important thing, especially if you've done a compartment syndrome case. You have a patient complaining of number 7 or 8 pain and says the pain is unrelieved. I'm going to go back and look at the documentation of number 1, when were they last medicated, of course, take care of their pain, and what was their pain on the previous shift, and maybe the shift before that, you know, depending on exactly what the situation was. I mean, a lot of times what happens is this is where I'm seeing copying and pasting and carrying forward of assessments. The nurse's assessments truly aren't their own, and that can be, we're going to talk about authorship and authenticity when we get to the electronic medical record. This is sort of just an in general documentation thing. In my normal practice, I always look at the most recent or maybe the past several days physician's notes and any consults that have been made to make sure they've been done or if the recommendations have been followed. Because sometimes it happens when a consultant will make a recommendation and the primary physician has not implemented that recommendation. And believe me, I want to know, are they going to, or maybe they disagree with the consultant. So I want to know why these recommendations have not been done yet. So basically, you can see how important communication is and the important reasons why all providers need to document well. Another reason is for billing and coding. Documentation must support coding and therefore supports reimbursement. Money. I always tell the nurses when I'm teaching them, I say documentation equals coding equals billing equals reimbursement, and it could equal your job. You know, the hospital has to get the facility, the nursing home, everybody has to get paid, the physician's office. All right. So this is ever so important, especially in fraud and abuse cases, in their QTM cases. I mean, this documentation for billing and coding is so very important. When we'll get to the CYA reason, I want to touch up. Let me back up here for a second with the billing and coding. There are actually, we call them chart reviewers. They'll come and say, hey, Dr. Smith, you coded this, but I don't see any supporting documentation. Did the patient have chest pain or didn't they? So we have to be very cautious and understand that there are quality management people that are reviewing these cases looking for supporting documentation. And if I, when I, and you understand about audit trails when we do the electronic medical record, but if I'm reviewing something and I'm seeing a late entry in the physician's note, I want to know what they're documenting. If they just simply said, oh my gosh, I absolutely simply forgot to document something, and yes, it will support the code, then that's honestly okay. If they're going in 2 to 3 days later to support their documentation, because believe me, and sometimes I know we don't like to hear this, people do forget. We are human, even with electronic medical records, even with documentation. And I will give you an example. My own practice, I had a very sick patient. Their temperature was very low. We had warm IV fluids running. We had all this kind of stuff. We had a rectal probe in. I know, sounds uncomfortable. Checking their temperature by the minute. And we also had also put a warming blanket on them. And this patient was very, very sick. And I had other things. And I tried to document as well as I could. I documented everything else except the quality management person came and says, Michelle, their temperature was 93. Did you put a bear hugger, which would be the warming blanket, on them? And I sort of looked at her like she had three heads. I said, well, of course I did. Her temperature was 93. And she says, would you please document that? And I had also charged for it, so she knew I did it. But and it was simply, I had just forgotten. There were so many things going on with this patient. But if you would have looked at my documentation, remember, things are not always as they seem. I forgot to document the bear hugger, the warming blanket, but I was able to show that the temperature was coming up gradually. I was showing reevaluation of the patient, that the temperature went from 93 to 94. So some interventions had obviously worked. So I'm here to tell you, we are all human, but sometimes you have to look at the documentation. Now, if the temperature had not gone up and no warm IV fluids were charted and the bear hugger certainly wasn't charted, then that would have been a different issue. And I really would have questioned that. But anyway, I'm just trying to give you a personal example of sometimes things happen. But also, there are CYA reasons. And this, I think this is truly sometimes the only reason people document in the chart, to CYA, for legal reasons. And I do tell people, 2 years later, are you going to remember this patient? Are you going to remember what happened? The only thing you as a nurse, as a physician, as a provider have, and this is what I teach them, is your documentation. And we, in our field, in the medical legal field, that's all we have, is their documentation. So how do we know what happened with that patient? As I'm reading documentation, I should be able to close my eyes and imagine this patient and get a visual of this patient, what this patient looked like, et cetera, et cetera. So that is, and I think sometimes, like I said, that is the only reason. There are also other regulations and specific facility procedures and policies regarding documentation that have to be followed. Also, there are federal laws for documentation that have to be followed. Because I hear so often in depositions, I read it, I was taking care of the patient and that's my priority. Well, I understand that. And I certainly would want you to take care of my family member or myself. And I would certainly take care of a patient, save their life over documenting. But then you go back and document, because it is a safety issue, number one, as we discussed. FTAG 514, Code of Federal Regulations 43.75. This is for nursing homes. The facility must maintain clinical records on each resident in accordance with accepted professional standards and practices. And everything must be complete and accurately documented. Okay, it says so in the federal law. I do some work in Tennessee. Tennessee, for instance, basically reiterates the same thing, that the nursing home must maintain a medical record for each resident, and they must be accurate, promptly completed, properly filled and retained and accessible. So there are laws on the books. Hospital, Code of Federal Regulations 42.24, same thing. You have to retain a medical record, and it must be accurately written, promptly completed, and properly filed and retained and accessible. So there are federal laws in the books, federal regulations, which are the black letter law, which are the gold standard that you have to document. So, because nurses, I think, and providers, like I said, they think, I'm taking care of the patient, I don't need to document. It's okay, you know, I did what I have to do. But I want to pose a very interesting question. If the primary reason for documenting, if the primary reasons are patient safety and provider communication, those are the primary reasons, okay, is a failure to document negligence in and of itself? If a nurse fails to record an allergy to penicillin, she should be able to reasonably foresee that the failure to document that allergy accurately and completely per law could result in penicillin being ordered and administered. Now, I know sometimes this isn't the most pristine example because there are other checks, but if there's no allergy entered, how's the pharmacy to know? Yes, the nurse should be asking for any allergies prior to administering it. But in a very simple example, if the nurse fails to record that allergy, she should be able to reasonably foresee that, yes, that patient could receive that drug. A reasonable and prudent nurse would document all allergies. Okay. If the patient was administered penicillin, went into anaphylactic shock, and died, the failure to document an allergy would be a significant factor in the patient's death. But not for the failure to document an allergy, the patient would be alive. Now, again, there were all the other stopgaps and the checks that could have happened, but this is sort of, I just wanted to give you a pristine example of how documentation can affect everything. I think that was a fairly easy example, but, and again, we're going to get to this in the pressure ulcer series. I've actually been getting emails about this. It's coming. I'm working on it. But what about documenting every 2-hour turning? Now, hold your horses, because now it could be every 4-hour turning, but that's coming up. But what about documenting that? All right. As we discussed in one of the previous infocasts, there are nurses who simply, it's in the care plan, it says turn and reposition every 2 hours. And the nurses simply point and click a button that says turned and repositioned. Okay, well, that's great. How often were they turned and repositioned? What side? How does the next nurse know on which side the patient was? Were they on the right side? For how long were they on this right side? How can a nurse follow their own plan of care if they don't know the previous actions of the nurse? And to give you a better example, because I think that's where I see it the most, is in the turning schedules for patients with pressure ulcers. If a nurse would just come in and document all medications administered as ordered, care plan is to administer the medications, oh, they were all just documented. That would be completely unacceptable. I think both plaintiffs would be having a field day with that. And as a defense, I would just be cringing and saying, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. So the nurse documents each administration of each medication on the medication administration record, the MAR. So why would documenting a specific position be any different than documenting a medication? It's not okay to say I just gave them all the medications as ordered. I didn't feel the need to record anything or write that I gave them or what time. So again, when reviewing a case, we need to see for nurses in nursing malpractice that a nursing process was followed. For instance, if a low blood pressure was recorded, or interventions taken and wasn't reevaluated. I can't tell you how many times I see a low blood pressure recorded and then no recheck. Okay, you have to document it. And I had a nurse in deposition say, well, of course I rechecked the blood pressure. It was low, but they never, ever documented it. So how are we to know that? And how is she going to remember 2, 3, 4 years later what that recheck of that blood pressure was? All right. We need to see that if a patient is at risk for falls and the care plan directs the preventative measures, that the nurse actually implements them and documents them. Is the bed alarm on? Is it in the lowest position? Do they have a sitter? Do they have a one-on-one person there? Are they doing their rounding checks? Is the room close to the nurse's station? Do they have non-skid socks on? All of these things we need to see that the nurses have done and document them. Okay. Now, I call them incidents, and let's face it, none of us in this profession would have a job if there were not incidents. When reviewing a case, I would expect to see some documentation regarding this incident, be it a fall, be it a surgical mishap, be it something, anything. And I'm always baffled when there is an incident. We know the patient fell. They broke their hip when they fell. We know they fell. And there's no documentation. Now, there's an x-ray order, you know, and it says reason fall. Yeah, but there's no nursing documentation. There's nothing. And it just baffles me. I almost think that if it's sort of passive aggressive, if they don't document it in the medical record, it just didn't happen. And we know there are incident reports that happen, but it just baffles me when there's nothing, no documentation. And from providers also, they may order an x-ray, but then that's about it. There's nothing about the circumstances of the fall. Okay. And unfortunately, I hear nurses say so often, and I've heard this myself, I've heard administrators tell nurses, don't chart too much. We don't want a lot of narrative. And this more so pertains especially to the electronic medical record. Most everything's a drop-down menu, a point and click, a lot of carrying forward, which we'll talk about later. But there are always, and I've never seen a program out there where you cannot make, and it might not say nurse's note, it might not say narrative, it might say additional text or comment or something, but there's always in every program, someplace, somewhere, that the nurse can make an additional comment, some text, something to type to make. Just saying the patient has chest pain and clicking on chest pain does not suffice. You have to describe it. Where did it come from? What relieved it, et cetera, et cetera. But I have actually, with my own ears, heard administrators tell nurses, do not write a lot of narrative. Don't chart too much. I've heard a nursing instructor tell her students, the less you document, the less you can get into trouble. Minimum documentation. For me, as a nurse, that is frightening. Because I want to be able to make sure that the next shift knows what happened and my patient safety, again, is just so important. And those nurses need to know that they are not going to, with minimum documentation, you're not going to be able to prove anything or say what you did or did not do or understand what that patient was or how that patient was 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I want to tell people, this is not true. The more you document, the better it's going to be. Okay, now, I've seen some inappropriate documentations. For instance, there was a fall case where the nurse so very kindly at the nursing home documented that the wheelchair from which the patient fell wasn't even his, and it was sitting unlocked in the hallway for 3 days. Now, okay, that administration needed to talk with that nurse and say that was really not appropriate, to put in there. However, more documentation does help sometimes. For instance, I worked on a defense case about an IV infiltration, and the nurses just failed to document anything about the IV infiltration. They didn't document that it was infiltrated, and we know it was because the provider documented it. And they failed to document that they elevated the arm, that they put cool compresses on it. They failed to document any provider notification. And honestly, if they had just documented, because IVs infiltrate, it happens. But they didn't document what they did about it. And if they would just simply have done that, there would have been no case. So as you can see, I always tell people, so from the medical legal perspective, we're looking for this documentation. I've also had cases of a lot of documentation, and some of it was just pristine documentation, too pristine. Every 2-hour turning schedules, done all the time. And the writing, these were handwritten records from a nursing home, extremely neat. I don't know about you, but when I'm doing a flow sheet, I'm scribbling, I'm not making sure everything's in the little boxes. Every provider was in the little boxes. The patient developed 3 stage 4 pressure ulcers, and they said they turned her every 2 hours. There was just no way. They had just point and clicked or clicked the check the box and stuff like that. No, I'm sorry. This was an electronic record. But every 2-hour turning all the time. We requested an audit trail, which I will tell you about later in the electronic medical record. And we proved that the documentation of all this every 2-hour turning was done at the beginning of every shift. And sometimes it was done days later, so that the staff were just coming in at the beginning of the shift and going through 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, clicking at turn. So they were documenting care they had not provided yet. And again, days later was even a bigger issue. All right. I've had cases where their nurses are documenting on days that don't exist. I will tell you, today is November 30th. It is the last day of November. I have had documentation for November 31st. I said, gee, don't we all want an extra day in our lives? I would love to go to this state wherever they have an extra day in November. It's okay. An extra day to prepare for the holidays would be great. A lot of times the electronic medical records will help with the lack of documentation on extra days. This was a handwritten record. So I've had, days that are made up. All right. The fact that something is documented also does not always make it so, and vice versa. If it wasn't documented, it doesn't always mean it wasn't done. And this side of pill, like I said, is a little harder to swallow. But for instance, if I'm seeing, I'll use my own example. I forgot to document the bear hugger, but the patient was getting better. The temperature was getting better. All right. So to sum it up, I hope I haven't confused anybody on this whole documentation. I said we'll talk about electronic medical record documentation in a later series. But to sum it up, we in our business rely on documentation to defend or prove our case. However, it's not always black and white. We really have to get in there with the nitty gritty and look at other supporting documentation and things like that and say, hey, you know what? I know they didn't document this, but the patient is fine. The patient got better. Okay. For instance, if they don't document every 2-hour turning, but the patient gets no pressure ulcers, number one, there's no case. But so it like I said, it's never black and white. And that's why a lot of attorneys will call and say, hey, Michelle, really look at this. We're not quite sure what's going on here. But anyway, I hope you have enjoyed this Hump Day InfoCast. Look forward to the pressure ulcer series next. We'll be delving into pressure ulcers and the new 2014 guidelines. If you need any information, please go to GonsmanGroupLNC.com. That is our website. My contact information is on there. And I hope you have a fantastic day.